Father, I thank you for your word that you have opened our hearts to receive. Father, I thank you for how you've been meeting with David these last weeks as he's been looking at Mark's gospel. Lord, fill his mouth. Lead him in your peace. Lord, let your word be heard. Soften our hearts to receive your word. I ask, Lord, you'd do this by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. God is good all the time. That's right. And we are speaking from the book of Mark the last number of months because we want to learn that God is good. God is the Creator. He is the Holy One. He is the Almighty. He works out everything according to His own purpose. Someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He alone is Lord. He is awesome. He is in control. But is He good? Does He care about me? Is His plan the best for me? Can I trust Him? Does He have my best in mind? What if He's just big and in charge, but doing His own thing, and He's not good for me? Jesus is good news. And the whole book of Mark is the Apostle Mark telling us why Jesus is good news. We're going to be in chapter 6 today, speaking, I've titled this, Good News, Jesus Assigns the Impossible. Have you ever had an impossible assignment? Good news, Jesus assigns the impossible. I remember when I was about 6 years old, we lived on a big farm, and the front yard was about the size of a soccer field. And we mowed it with a 16-inch wide hand-push mower. And sometimes it got about 8 inches high before it got mowed, and that made mowing it a bit more difficult. I remember one time when it was about 5 inches high, and I was about 6 years old. And my father said, "Son, let's go mow the grass." "Okay, Dad, let's go mow the grass." And I go out there with my dad. I didn't know it was an impossible assignment. You and I know that, but a six-year-old doesn't know that. I get to drive the lawnmower. Push the lawnmower. You know how the lawnmower is, right? It has the motor, and then the arms come up, and there's a bar. And then there's another bar up here, the one that you push on. But for the six-year-old, which one do you push on? The one down here. So Dad gets out the lawnmower and he starts it up and it makes a big loud noise. And I put my hands on there and I push as hard as I can like this. And the back of the mower goes up as I try to push and the back tires come up and it hits the grass and I can't push. But I'm going to mow the grass. Because Dad and I are going to mow the grass today. And out we go and I push and I push and I walk and I shove. And pretty soon it gets easier. Oh. There's Dad just pushing away, and down the lawn we go, mowing the grass. And I mowed the grass that day. And I was so proud of what I had accomplished that day, because I had mowed the grass. I had done the impossible with my dad's help. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 6. We're going to read three impossible stories. And I've asked three people to come and help us with this, so if you want to come now, turn to Mark chapter 6. We'll pick up in verse 7. Okay, verse 7, Mark chapter 6. Thomas, lead us off.
Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave, as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is Elijah. Still others claimed, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead.
And then Mark goes on to give us the gruesome story about how John the Baptist died. Because his real point is, the disciples return from this incredible time of preaching, and it stirred up the whole community. Everyone is saying, who is this Jesus? He's this guy, he's that guy, maybe he's Elijah, maybe. And King Herod says, I know who he is. He's the guy that I beheaded. That was a holy man, and it's bothered my conscience ever since. But it was Jesus. We're going to skip that part. Go on to verse 30.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. Let's get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. And because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began to teach them many things. But by this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Well, Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to set before all the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000.
Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the 4th watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus.
Thank you very much. 3 impossible assignments. 3 lawnmowers that were over their head. 3 times Jesus leads his disciples into situations that they can never achieve. The last story was quite interesting. Four burly fishermen, a taxman, a political activist, and some of their friends take a boat across the lake. But a big wind comes up, and they're straining at the oars against the wind, an impossible situation. Early in the morning, God walks across the lake and sits down in their boat. And the wind dies down, and they go to Bethsaida. They are completely amazed. They're beside themselves. What's going on? Did you see what just happened? They couldn't believe it. After all, they're fishermen. Windy nights happen sometimes. Storms come up now and then. You row harder, don't you? Put your head down and try again. Figure it out. Keep going. That's normal. Sometimes boats don't make it. Sometimes they go down. It was meant to be. But who just got in our boat? Who is this Jesus? And then Mark adds his little note in verses 51 and 52. They were completely amazed because they hadn't understood about the bread. Their hearts were hardened, as if they should not have been amazed. These guys were freaked out by the situation. Not just that they were afraid thinking they saw a ghost, but once they realized Jesus saying, "It is I," they knew it was Jesus, but he was saying, "I am. I am is with you. I am is present. God Almighty is here." Who is he? And they were completely amazed. Amazed because they hadn't clued in yet about the bread. They hadn't clued in yet about the mission that they had been sent on two by two. They hadn't clued in about the last time they were in a storm and Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. They were completely amazed because they're so much like us. Stephanie told us this morning. Did you hear her words? We were so surprised, but we shouldn't have been. We've been praying for this. Isn't that how we are? Is it really such out of God's character that he helps people? Is it so unlike God that he would help some fishermen? Is it so amazing that he would choose to walk with people? You know how it is. When I met the Lord, I surrendered to God. God, no matter what you do, I will follow you. I give you my life. Lord, whoever you want me to marry, I know it's going to be somebody ugly. Because that's just how God is, right? I love you, dear. Every teenager knows if you surrender to God, he'll give you somebody ugly. Lord, I know you created me with skills, talents, ability, interest. And I surrender my career to you. I will put my hand to whatever you want me to be, but I know I'm going to be poor. That's just how God is. Isn't that our image of God? Why has Satan lied to us so much? Why have we believed the lies so much? Yes, he's big. Yes, he's almighty. But if I can just lead him aside till I'm 60 years old, I'll get to have a lot of fun. I know money can't buy happiness, but you sure get to look forward to nice places, don't you? If I can just leave God out of my life, I'll go do my own thing. Hopefully I won't die before I repent. But someday, when it's time for heaven, then I'll give it up to him. I only got 20 years left anyway. What a lie the enemy has given us. God is good. But if we don't know that he's good, it keeps us from trusting him. And sometimes the lie is reinforced by things that God does that we misunderstand. And these three stories are going to help us see how God operates. I could have just as easily titled this message, Three Stories of Poverty. Wouldn't be too exciting. But we've chosen to look at it through the eyes of Jesus assigning impossible mission. Mission impossible becomes possible. Look at these three stories. The first one that Thomas read to us. 12 disciples are assigned to do what? The assignment is preach that people should repent and believe, drive out demons, heal the sick. Go into all the towns and villages, but don't take any supplies. No bread, no food. No bag. Some of the itinerant preachers at the time would have a bag for supplies that people who liked their preaching would give them some money or give them some bread or give them some things to sustain them on their itinerant way. Don't even take a supply bag. Don't take any extra money along. Don't depend on yourself. He sends them out into a situation where he wants them to be without the ability to sustain themselves. Jesus gives us impossible mission so that we can walk in the supernatural. Jesus leads us into things that are beyond our ability so that we can experience the supernatural. It's too big for me. I can't do it. Good. Now we can live. The Christian life is not just about doing well yourself, being disciplined, being a perfectionist, learning how to get it right. That's not what the Christian life is about. If they learned how to get it right, they would have planned for the journey, taken along enough money, had the fundraisers needed to supply the mission, and then gone out, and had a contingency plan and a travel insurance policy. Right? Jesus took all of that away. He said, go. I know you can't do it. I'm sending you into something that's way bigger. I mean, after all, do you think the healing, driving out demon stuff is normal? Who's got the power for that? Lesson number two, they come back. There's a mob of people with them. Obviously, they've been successful. Obviously, these people have fed them, kept them in their homes, thought it was a privilege to have these guys stay with them. And they come and follow the disciples back to Jesus. And everybody around the region, the guys from Burnaby, the guys from Metrotown, the guys from East Van, the guys from North Vancouver, they're all saying, have you heard the news? Who's this Jesus guy? There's something big going on. His people talk about him and demons go running. People talk about him and diabetes gets healed. What's going on here? I think it's John the Baptist. I think it's Elijah. No, it's just a new prophet that's come along. God's sending something new. But nobody comprehends that it's God himself. Israel's Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one, the one in the line of David, that somehow that would be God himself? It is I, the great I am, Nobody, even the disciples, figured that one out yet. Who is this? The king says it must be John the Baptist. They try to report to Jesus. Story number two. A mob of people is with them, and they don't even have time for lunch. They didn't even get a coffee break yet, much less give their full report of everything that's happened in the last while. Jesus says, come on, let's go to another little place so we can chat and have a rest. Everybody follows him. They still don't have a chat. Jesus has so much compassion, he teaches them some more. The disciples finally have enough. God, time for a break. Jesus, let's go hang out. Send these guys away. I'm hungry. Yeah, I know you're hungry. How about you feed these guys first? Impossible assignment number two. You give them something to eat. 8 months' wages to give them something to eat. Take $40,000 and feed the crowd today. Lord, do you really want us to spend that much money? What? Impossible assignment gets bigger. Just tell him to sit down. You got some loaves and fish, right? Uh-oh. You imagine being a disciple that day, convincing people to sit down, I'm going to feed you. Where's the Burger King? No, we ordered in today. It'll be here in a moment. They sit down in groups. They take their loaves and fish. Jesus breaks it. They hand it to them, and they start to hand it out, and they keep on handing out. And suddenly the guys who thought they hadn't had time for lunch, each went home with a basketful for their family. 12 basketfuls left over. Not just a lunch, 12 basketfuls. Each one of them had one for themselves. Assignment gets bigger. Number three, Jesus says, hey, I'm going to pray a bit. Take the boat across the lake. It's no big deal. It's like hopping on your bike and going across town. This is their common taxi. Off they go, the fishermen in their boat and their tax collector and their friends. But the wind is against them. The scripture says Jesus sees it in the evening and doesn't go out until the fourth watch of the night, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. He sees in the evening that they're in the middle of the lake and they're not going to make it. And he doesn't go out until 4 in the morning. Now that ought to tell us something about God. He wanted them to realize it was beyond their ability. He wanted them to realize that the 5,000 was beyond their ability. He wanted them to realize that traveling around and preaching the gospel was beyond their ability. They couldn't think it through. They couldn't plan it out. They couldn't strategize for it. It was God giving them the privilege of being involved in something bigger than the natural. Jesus came walking out on the water and sat in their boat, and the wind died down. I am He is here. But they didn't get it because they hadn't gotten it about the bread. And they won't get it for a few chapters later until the end of chapter 8. They're still trying to figure out who is this Jesus that they've been following. You and I know the story. We know He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Himself. They don't know it yet. End of chapter 8, they figured out. But for you and I, we know the story. And yet we're so much like them. Can I trust God? You see, God has called us. It's on your bulletin every Sunday. To be a family. A family that's based in Jesus and His Word and led by His Spirit. That's who God's called us to be. A family that wins the lost and brings people back to Father and makes disciples and completely transforms society. That's what God's called us to be about. It's impossible. But like the disciples, I generally put my head down and row harder. I don't know about you, but I generally just work harder. And God's speaking to me about this. about 2 weeks ago, I was praying. And I was feeling tired. And God said, "Don't you remember what you prayed when you were 25 years old? From the time I was 25 onward, I regularly pray this prayer. On my 25th birthday, I suddenly realized that time was going to fly fast. And I would be in the grave soon." That happened when I was 25. I suddenly realized how fast time is flying. I said, "God, for whatever reason you made me, for whatever reason you gave me the skills, talents, abilities that you did, use me to the utmost before I die. Whether it's next year or whether it's when I'm 105, don't let me be a candle that's half used up. Use me up. Everything that you planned, everything that you wanted, everything that you destined, everything that you had in mind when you made me the way you did, use me to the utmost before I die." And suddenly, my face began to smile because I realized God was saying, "Dave, I'm not leading you into what you can accomplish. I'm leading you into what I can accomplish. You get tired when you try to push that lawnmower without asking for help. But I don't expect you to push the lawnmower without asking for help. Look at my story. I sent out 2x2. I didn't expect them to go hungry. I richly supplied them through the crowds. Look at the story. Go feed 5,000. I didn't expect you to get 3 jobs to make it pay. I just wanted you to be involved in the miracle. Look at the story. Do something normal today. Row across the lake. Oops. Didn't check the weather forecast. Actually, I did. I just changed it for tonight. It's bigger than you sometimes. They didn't understand about the bread. God cares about normal situations. God leads us into things that seem incredibly normal, like food, travel, boats. But in His eyes, it's an opportunity for supernatural. God uses us in ways that we get used to. How is it that someone can get used to driving out demons and healing the sick, but be surprised that the wind and waves die down? How do we get used to the sun coming up every day? How do we get used to planting gardens and seeds sprout and make food for us? Those are miracles day after day after day. And yet to think that God would help the sound man figure out the sound system? That's normal stuff. Wayne, work harder, buddy. We prayed for you next door. We heard that we were having trouble. Probably because of the guys playing video games on Friday night in here. It's true, the youth group was having a party here. Right, Matthew? It was a good thing. It was a good thing. Now listen, let's get really serious. God has called all of us into what you can never do. God has called Rachel into what she can never do. So today she says, like Charlie said, "I agree. Just let me die because I'm not going to be able to do this. How about you give me your life?" God has called Tim. He's one organized, self-sufficient guy. He is, in the natural. But God has called Tim, and He's going to put him into things that all of his ability will never match. Doesn't mean you won't use it. But He's going to put you into things that are too big for your ability. Oh, the glory of living in the impossible, if we can see it that way. God has called some of you to kick drugs. You can't kick cocaine. You can't have victory over crystal meth. You need God's power. God has called us to raise children. That's impossible. He's entrusted his kids to you and I. God's called us corporately to use a school to make disciples. That's impossible. The challenges that we're facing in the school right now, David, are beyond our ability. Not just you as a principal, us corporately. We will never have enough money to operate that school. We will never have enough staff to operate that school. But God does. God does. He leads us into impossible situations. It's Him who does it. Now, can we switch our thinking? Not beat ourselves up, not try harder, but start to trust God. That's what He's after. God supply it. God push this lawnmower with me. God give me your ability. Give me your energy. There's Mike back there. Mike, Blair, you guys, literacy project in the Philippines and India, It's impossible. If it was possible, it would just be up to you. But it's impossible. David and Kathy, an online Bible school being used by hundreds of people around the world right now. There's no money in that. You can't have enough to live on. But God can do it. Tina, being married to me? That must be impossible. Isn't God good? He's got good news for us. The good news is if you're in a difficult situation, trust it as a supernatural one. If He's put a vision in front of you that you can never attain, great. If all you can attain is what you can do with your own organization, your own self-discipline, your own ability, then you're just living in the natural. You're just living like the world around you. Even the heathens do that. God's called us into so much more. Let the vision draw us into faith, not into despair and hard work. Let's pray. And then we're going to ask Tim and Rachel to come. Father in heaven, You are speaking to me. I know that. And I know You're speaking to us as a people. Lord, thank You for giving us vision for things in our lives that we just don't see the answer to. Thank You for the hope that our loved ones would follow You. Thank You for the vision that our school would disciple people to carry out Your grand plans. Thank You for the vision that our children would become great giants in Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for giving us vision for families at peace, for marriages in harmony. We can't do these things. Lord, what a privilege it is that this is Your natural way of bringing us into the supernatural. Would You do this, Lord? Would You give us faith? Would You show us, Lord, every idea, every vision that's from You that You are about to supply? Lord, would You forgive us for trusting ourselves? For continuing to row at the oars, push at the lawnmower, dig deeper trying to figure out how to feed the crowd. Lord, free us from these ways of thinking. Give us faith. You are a good God. You call us into things that are your glory and your joy. You pour out the oil of joy. You break the chains of bondage. You set people free. We never do these things. You always do it. You are always the provider, always the supplier. Every good and perfect gift that comes down from above is from you, our Father. What a privilege it is to be your children, Lord. Supply us, Father. Lord, we pray for Rachel. We pray for Tim. Supply them, Lord. Lord, as they share their stories now, would you just bless them? Open our hearts and minds. Remind us of all the good things that you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.